Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. And Dave, I guess a big day tomorrow with the all-day outlook meeting at the Beef House.
Yes, indeed, Dan. The meeting gets underway with registration at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning. That's 7:30 Central. The first panel of the day begins at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. That'll be a soybean panel. We'll also have panels on cash grain and food, fuel and feed, ethanol in the marketplace, agriculture, weather, corn, and crop insurance. So a full day of meeting. No advance registration is required, so you can just come on down. The meeting is also free. If you want to eat at the Beef House for lunch, it's $8.75. We do believe it will be worth your while. Our headliner, Dan Bossi of Ag Resources out of Chicago, Illinois. Slaughter hog prices today are expected to be mixed based on icy road conditions and possibly short supplies in various locations across the Midwest. Terminals are called 50 cents higher to 50 cents lower in a very light volume test. Tops from $42 to $44.50. Peoria called 50 cents lower today with a top price of $42. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, February 23rd, negotiated swine purchases were 11,415. The base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54 to $65. The weighted average was $61.03, a loss of $1.52 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.32 to $50.17, the weighted average $48.37. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 7,111. The base price range $54 to $67, the weighted average $62.98, a loss of 44 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.83 to $50, and the weighted average was $48.51.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. And Ed, I got to ask you, what are we going to look at the Beef House for tomorrow?
Well, looks like a good day to get there, I think. It's going to be dry. There may be a few flurries here and there, but nothing really sticking. The roads are dry now around here. There's a few icy patches up in northern Illinois and northern Indiana, but that's more today than tomorrow. But that would be the only concern. People coming down from the north may have a little start with a few slick spots, but roads will be open, and it will be a chilly day, so a day not really to spend outside.
It's well,
a day to come inside.
It's a good thing we'll be indoors then.
Yeah, of course. You know, we do provide an indoor venue, which we'd have problems if we didn't. It'd be quite chilly indeed. So tomorrow we'll be on the cool side. This is the first time we're doing this in the month of February. This is the 17th annual all-day Ag Outlook meeting, and oftentimes it's in March, but this year it just ends up in the second to last day of February, and actually, the weather will be better tomorrow than it was for some of those early Beef House meetings. It used to be a joke, almost, that you could plan the worst weather of the year on the all-day Ag Outlook meeting, but it's been a while since we've had the big ice and snow on all-day Ag Outlook meeting day. So all in all, a good day to come on out tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the weather both locally and globally and near-term and long-term. Of course, long-term, just don't expect all the answers, because there's never all the answers on the long-term forecast. And if there was, then there'd be somebody everybody would be following every year, and that person would be world-renowned, and that's not the case. So the long range, there's always a lot of questions. Shorter term, we, of course, over the weekend picked up some moisture across the Midwest Corn Belt. There are a lot of fields that have a lot of water in them, and a lot of river basins that have a lot of water in them as well. We have another wet weather system coming. Looks like the heaviest precipitation with this next one will go across eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, but even in the rest of Illinois and Indiana, there could be a good half an inch to 1 inch of precipitation through this work week, as we are expecting this next system to tap Gulf moisture once again. And there's also going to be a lot of wind and any rain on top of the already wet ground that we have out there indicates that we're going to keep the ground saturated, and there is a flooding potential, especially in the river bottoms. And as we go into the springtime, I think the ground's going to stay rather wet here through the month of March. It takes a while for all of this to run off and soak in. So as far as crop conditions go, if the fields are accessible, it will be a great start to the season because there's plenty of moisture down there in the ground. We had a lot of rain earlier in the winter. We now have the snowpack, and some of that's starting to melt, and we're getting more rain. So the big question is, will it be too wet for planting? And there's likely going to be opportunities for planting, but any problems that occur will probably be on the wet side instead of the dry side as far as the spring goes. As far as the middle of summer, nobody knows for sure yet. I'll just say this, though. Without a big change in weather patterns, drought feeds on drought, and wet conditions feed on wet conditions. So as long as the ground is wet out there, and excessively so, anytime a system comes through, it'll be able to tap some of that moisture to make more thunderstorms and more rain. So the only way you can go from wet to extremely dry is to have a dramatic change in the weather pattern. So that's what we'll have to be watching as we go through the season. And that's the hard thing to forecast well in advance. So the tendency right now is toward wet conditions here. And we see no change in that with more weather systems parading through the Midwest during the next couple of weeks. As we look at South America, it looks like there's some thunderstorm clusters moving through parts of Argentina and into Uruguay. And there may be some rain this week in Argentina once again, but a lot of areas are going to be mostly dry, but generally favorable conditions. And that's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keyser.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 505 and a quarter, down 1 1/4, last trade up 5 1/2. March wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 484 and 3/4, up 1/2, last trade up 8 3/4. March corn, 430 and a quarter, unchanged, last trade up 7. March beans, 778 and a half, up 1/4, last trade up 8 3/4. March soybean meal, 229, up 10, last trade up 210. March soybean oil, 3044, up 5, last trade up 34. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Overnight, the May corn contract made new contract highs. Are you looking for follow-through?
Oh, certainly today. I think you basically Friday was nothing more than option expiration. It's helping to pull us down as we move towards trying to gravitate towards some of the lower strikes, 430 in particular on the March. And my guess is the funds are right back at it today. Basically, when you go for new highs, the funds just feed off of that. Market's telling them that they're right, and they continue to add to their length in the marketplace. And I look for them to be right back out there again, buying this thing up. I think you're going to be 6 to 8 higher on the corn, probably another 6 to 8 higher on the wheat, as wheat's still trying to play somewhat catch-up, get back into line with the market, as it got a little undervalued, although ultimately I still see wheat having to do the work to try and get down as a feed grain. And I think evidence of that was this morning seeing, once again, Egypt's buying wheat from Russia, bought another 134,000 tons of wheat from Russia, so our demand continues to walk away from us in that wheat market. But certainly, I think you see the follow-through, and we're going to keep a market that's going to stay very solid here right on into the March planting intentions, would be my guess.
So you don't want to signal a note of caution that we might consolidate a little bit of a lower level through March?
I doubt that you do that, Dave, would be my guess. It's until people get comfortable with what we're planning, the funds probably will continue to add to. You might, when you say lower level, lower from here or lower from where we end up putting our highs in?
Cause lower from the highs maybe by the end of the week.
Now, that could happen. If we should take and run, let's say we take December corn futures and make a run on up into that, say, 440 mark or something like that, 440 to 450 mark, then you could see some consolidation that would still keep you at these levels, would be my guess, going into that report.
Turn your attention then to the Merck, where the cattle on feed report might be supportive today?
Well, you would think so. That was a fairly low placement number of roughly 77%. So I would assume that we would see the cattle market find ample support as we get started here today, which should drive a little bit more premium back into the hogs again. Now, hurting the cattle is still going to be the fact that we've got feed costs in the nearby continuing to march higher, and that may keep the nearby from doing quite as much. But I would think your deferred cattle markets would find ample support out here with this marketplace and be better right off the start.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.